Dost Fila 99. Okay, so we are discussing what was plan. We know what plan A was. Now we're going to find out what plan B is. We're discussing the somewhat side topic, although he will get hopefully next week in honor of our 100th session. So he will get to how this all relates to tefillah. But for now, we're discussing another mistake that is made, that people think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow traded in the Jewish people for a different nation. Hamir, like the word tamura, to trade. And the Das Tefillah explains that that's impossible. It can't be that the Jewish people were traded in because the world was created for the Jewish people. And they can't thus just be traded in. So he's explaining that idea further. So what he explained last time was a question that is a reasonable question that someone could ask. What if Adam HaRishon hadn't sinned? What if Adam HaRishon hadn't sinned? Would there have been a Jewish people? Would there have been a Har Sinai? Would there have been all of these kinds of things if Adam HaRishon hadn't sinned? Doesn't necessarily look like there would have been a Har Sinai. That he doesn't talk about, the Ramchal. But he does say that there would have emerged amongst the descendants of Adam HaRishon. Everyone would have been at a high level. But there still would have been a group which was special, a group which was on a higher level than others, right? An Iker and a Tafel. A central group and those who are a little bit less central. And that would have happened. And that central group, says the Ramchal, would have been called Yisrael. And everyone else would have been called the nations. So the concept that there was going to be somewhat of an inside group, even before Adam HaRishon, even if Adam HaRishon hadn't sinned, that was always there. The plan was always that there were going to be those who were even closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then, so to speak, everybody else. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen, of course, because Adam HaRishon sinned. La'achar shechata, let's see now what happens. La'achar shechata, after Adam HaRishon sinned, v'yarad mimadregoso ha'elyona, and he fell from the very high stature. The Gemara says in Chagiga that he used to be as tall as the sun, almost. In other words, that's a metaphor, but Adam HaRishon was at a very, very, very high level, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when created. Imo yarad klal hamin ha'enoshi. All of mankind fell with Adam's sin and Adam's fall. Amnam segulat Adam HaRishon nishara bibekoach shel hamin ha'enoshi. Even though mankind immediately fell to a very low level, the potential that Adam HaRishon had in it remained in potential. That segula of Adam HaRishon was maintained in potential. V'nitna ha'efsharut biyad toldotav, and the possibility to capitalize on that was given to his descendants, lachzor, to go back, ulehidabek, and to attach to it, v'la'alot l'matzav hakodem shel b'chinat Adam HaRishon lefnei ha'chet. It seems that had Adam HaRishon not been created at that level, then there would be no potential to ever get back to that level. Which is why Adam HaRishon's time in Gan Eden had meaning, even though it was just a couple of hours. Because that sort of set a bar for his descendants. Not just a bar historically, but a bar genetically, in terms of what could be possible as to how high his descendants could one day reach. V'zocha Avraham, and Avraham merited, shenit aleb ma'asav, who was Avraham who had very exalted deeds. V'nihiyehu habechina ha'ikarit shel hamina enoshi. It turns out that this potential was passed down through Avraham, lo ulazaro, to him and to his children. Ba'asher b'chirazu nitna rak ledorot hasharashim. And Avraham was therefore selected as the one to carry this gene, this potential, because the choice of who would make it to the next round, it's a very unusual idea here of the Derech Hashem, was only during the generations of the Shorashim. Elu hadorot sha'ad ha'haflaga. He said last time that there's two different differentiations. There's the Iker and the Tafel. There was always going to be an Iker and a Tafel. There was always going to be some people who were on the inside and some people who were a little more on the outside. But he also points out that there was Shorashim and Anafim. There were those who are part of the roots, the trunk, and there are those who are part of the branches. How long do the roots last? 2,000 years, until the Dor HaFlaga. Dor HaFlaga was around the year 2000. Until the year 2000, he explains, was the generation of the roots. Once that time passed, one can no longer opt in, can no longer make their way in to, so to speak, the chosen people. That option was open to a larger group until the year 2000, until we split into 70 different nations at the time of the Tower of Babel. Umeaz ha-haflaga, and from the time of the separation, hayakitzam shel dorot elu, that was the end of the original peoples, v'itchilu dorot ha-anafim. And then you begin the generations of the branches. This is an idea that we've never heard of before. We've heard of the generation of the scattering, the generation of the haflaga, but we never heard that something fundamental changed after Parshat Noach, or after that story towards the end of Parshat Noach. It's almost as if the first 2,000 years was sort of a qualifying round. And those who showed that they had within them this particular gene, this particular potential, those who showed that during the first 2,000 years would then be part of a certain inner group after the year 2000. Those who didn't show the potential in the first 2,000 years would not. And of all the nations of the world, and of all the people, only Avraham Avinu showed this potential. You could see in him the potential of Adam HaRishon by the year 2000. Okay, does anybody understand that? I don't know. Why should it be that there should be a generation of roots and a generation of branches? It's hard to say. It's hard to say what exactly that is. We know that the Gemara speaks of the fact that there were 2,000 years of chaos, and then years of Torah, and then years of Mashiach. Right? There's 2,000 years of chaos. That was, so to speak, the beginning of time when the nations were sorting themselves out and we were going to figure out where was this potential to be found. But what he says next is even more important for the idea he's trying to make. V'chozrim anu la'oto ha-midrash ha-muvah b'Pirkei de Rav Eliezer. We now return to the Medrash in Pirkei de Rav Eliezer. Avraham, she'nitale b'ma'asav v'davak b'borei yitbarach, nivchar lihiyot goralo shel olam. Avraham Avinu, who through his actions showed that he had that gene within him, he had the potential of Adam HaRishon in him, he was chosen to be the direct portion of Hashem. Umot ha'olam him goralam shel sarei hateva misham shav yitbarach. And the umos ha'olam became the portion or became connected to things a level down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are all of the heavenly bodies and things of that nature. And all of this happened around the year 2000. Avraham Avinu was born in what year? 1948. He finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu somewhere between the age of 3 and 50. So you're talking right around the year 2000, right? Avraham Avinu reveals that he has this potential of Adama. Now, if you say he found them at 50, it was just in time. That was close. That means in the year 1998, with 2 years left to the entire first stage of the world, Adam HaRishon, it can be seen suddenly, it can be seen finally in Adam HaRishon, in Avraham Avinu, that he has this special part of him that can connect to HaKadosh Baruch. Goral hu gilui hachra'a shemei ever lema'asav ushlito shel ha'adam. But now he says, what is a goral? What does it mean that you're the lot of, you're the portion of? It shows that the goral is simply a gilui, a revelation of something that goes beyond any particular action that you did. In other words, Avraham Avinu wasn't chosen because of his actions. His actions revealed that he was the one who had always been chosen, who had always had that within him. That's why, that's how he reconciles the different kinds of sources. There are sources, again, that seem to indicate that the idea of the Jewish people was there from before the world was created. And there are sources that indicate that that Avraham Avinu, when he stood out, he was selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you put those sources together? Explains the Das Tfila that the spark within Adam HaRishon, which was passed to Avraham Avinu, that was always there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world in order that a human being should be able to connect with him in a very high and real way. Not every human being, but that some human beings would be able to connect with him in a very way. And that gene was in Adam HaRishon and passed along. That was always there. The idea that there should be a people who are able to connect to him even more closely than everybody else, and that that people was ultimately what the world is about, that was there from Adam HaRishon. That it was revealed that Avraham Avinu was the one who had this gene, that didn't happen until 2,000 years later. After the fall, after everyone comes down, we find this spark within Adam HaRishon. Kan hu ha-gilui shebechiras Avraham v'zer Yisrael. Right? This is the revelation of the choosing of Avraham and the seed of Israel. Shebitzura ha-niglet shel olam ha-bechira ba'a kitagmul al ma'asav. In the open world, in the open view, it looks like they were chosen as a reward for what they did. It looks like that it was a reward for Avraham. Avraham was just the same as everybody else, and he was rewarded for going beyond and doing the extra mile. But he says that's not the way. Be'emet mushreshes hi beritzono yitbarach. The whole thing was set up. Avraham nitgaleh, Avraham showed, it was revealed, that he was ota bechinat Yisrael shehaya ba'adam HaRishon. It was revealed, when Avraham Avinu came to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was revealed that he had that spark that had been there since the beginning of time. Ukedivrei Midrash, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chevel v'goral zeh ratzata nafshi. This was always my portion. This was always the piece that I had selected and always the piece that I had wanted. Okay?
Rabbi, so why did he got it from somebody? Why wasn't the person before Abraham?
Because it took a combination of the potential and the beginning of the actualization of that potential. But without the potential in him, the actualization wouldn't have made a difference. And that's what he's trying to show, is that you couldn't replace Klal Yisrael after the year 2000. That potential was only seen within one person. The other nations didn't have that in within them. They were no longer at the point of Shorashim or at the point of Anafim. So therefore, he says, you can't talk about replacing. You can talk about starting the world again, but you can't talk about replacing Klal Yisrael in that point. Everything is on this one people. Everything is on this one people. All of the potential of the world since the beginning of Adam Arishon, all of that potential has come down now to one man who gives it to his children, to one people. That's what it is. And therefore, if a person would suggest that the Jewish people have been replaced, he tries to explain that's impossible. Is this the most compelling argument that I've ever heard? You got to buy into the entire system in order to be able to say that. But this is the Ramchal's understanding of how the Jewish people came about. It's not that. It's not that anyone could have in the year 1996, 1997, finished a certain set of tasks and do it. And it's not like anyone could have then even done it in the year 2001. Before the year 2000, some person need to reveal that they had this gene within them. And from that point on, the gene is not going to be revealed. That spark is not going to be revealed within anyone else. Tammy looks very confused.
The only thing that's confusing me is that we're not the only showers from Avraham Avinu. That's the only thing that's kind of confusing me, just a little bit.
Okay, it's a good question. I don't believe that he addresses that. It's an excellent question. So why can't the Muslims now be in this, right? It's a good question. He doesn't deal with that directly. Okay. Next. And again, he'll wrap this all up in a week or so. Now he explains, what then is the difference between having a direct relationship with Hashem, revealing that you are the one who has a direct relationship with Hashem, and being the goral of Teva, the goral of the stars in the heavens and all the angels and all this and that. Davko b'chomer v'avdo l'kochot ha-teva. Connected, the nations of the world, connected to the material and serving the world of nature, their essence is given under the shlita, under the control of nature. In other words, the rest of the world lives a step away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They live inside the world of nature. As Chazal say, that the Jewish people is above mazal. What is mazal? So mazal, we use the word mazal as luck. Mazal tov doesn't mean good luck. It means good fortune, right? Mazal means from the word yizol, to drip down, to be under control of the heavens. We have a tradition that the world is basically run in the natural way, but the Jewish people are above that system. They're above that system, right? We operate outside the natural, which is why we're still here after thousands of years. Ba'asher zehu inyanam u'mahotam. But for the nations of the world, that's the essence of who they are. Kafi she'biyarnu el binyan tolos avodah zarah. Ribui elahuyot dilatavaya vakesh nifrat. What's at the essence of someone who worships idols? The lack of desire to interact with Hashem directly. Part of the reason why people worship the sun, even though they understood that the sun was under the control of God, is they weren't looking to interact directly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's what they chose, if that's what they want to be, so that's what they'll be. Then they'll be under the control of the sun. It's not that worshiping the sun therefore has any value. The sun is a piece of nature. It only does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells it to do. But it sort of closes off an avenue to directly reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Heyot v'inyan avodasam hi milui ta'avosam rutzonoseim kol echad v'tivo kol umah l'fi ofya. Every single nation has within it the desire not to serve necessarily HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately to serve their own interests. When one serves a natural thing, they're effectively playing by the rules of that thing, as he had explained. Most of Avodah Zarah is different than worship of Hashem, not simply because one is an idol and one is God, but because in idol worship, the goal was ultimately to get stuff, to serve oneself by serving the idol. If a person is wrapped up in themselves, if a person is looking for the material, if a person is looking for the physical, then they're in essence an idol worshiper. Because they're not looking to reach beyond and reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're just looking to work within nature. You could call nature watering a plant. You could call nature serving the sun. The point is, you're utilizing nature to get to your own goals. Kol umah l'fi ofya. Kach shorish inyanam nikba lehiyot hasar hamamuna alayim. And therefore we say that they're under the control of all of these forces. V'hu koach echad prati me'akochot haruchaniyim hamamunim me'oto yitbarach hamarechet atem. God created many, many, many natural forces. And each nation of the world, depending on what their distinct nature is, they're, so to speak, said to worship that aspect of nature. Whatever they're drawn to, whatever their goal is, that's the part of nature, so to speak, that they're said to serve. Kol sar matim laofi ha'uma shetachtav. Every single force, every single prince, every single angel is fitting for the nation that's beneath it. Ein lehem shorish me'ever lemarechet ha'teva. But they don't go beyond the world of nature. Ba'asher zehu ma'utam. Because that is their nature. Inyanei ha'chomer v'ateva. Umikan, and from this, ba'im anu lehavonas ha'hagdara she'vanu le'el b'divrei Rashi. That Yisrael is nikra'im. Listen to this powerful idea as we finish. What does it mean when we say that the Jewish people are goy echad? The umot ha'olam heim rabim v'nifradim. Remember, we saw this in the Medrash. The Medrash said that when the Jewish people went down to Egypt and the Parshios we're dealing with now, it was Shivim Nefesh. Shivim Nefesh. One unit. Whereas the children of Esav, even though there are fewer at first, are called Shisha Nefashot. They're separate. Yadanu ki abore echad v'hanivraim rabim. Explains the Das Tfilah. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen to this idea. Everything comes from the one God, and then it spreads out. Right? The further down you are on the chain, the more spread out you are. The further up you are on the chain, the more unified you are as you get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol asher yikruvu yimatu. The closer you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fewer of you there will be, and the more connected to each other you will be, the more you will be one. Ka'asher ha'anafim rabim v'ha'ikar echad. Right? If you're, in other words, imagine the tree turned in the other direction. Right? It all comes from the source. And that which comes directly from the source is somewhat unified. And then it begins to branch out into a million different parts. Why are there so many Rishayim? Because once you move away from the source, there's going to be many, many of you. But those which are closest is only by definition going to be a few. It makes sense that most people are not at the same level. It makes sense that most people are not going to be at the center. The way that the world is created, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a tree. We're the trunk. And then it's going to branch out into a million different things and a million different leaves and a million different places. Gavan shel omek mitgaleb lanu bepasuk, and a different level of depth is revealed in the pasuk. Lo me rubchem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashem b'chem v'yivcha b'chem, ki atem ha'ma'at mikol ha'amim. And that's what it means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I've chosen you because you are few. What do you mean, I chose you because you're few? It should have said, even though you're few, I chose you. What does being a few have to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us? Ella, the miyot is always going to be the ones that are the most valuable and the most close. Ki atem hama'at, you are the smallest. V'zeh ha'gilui sha'atem krovim l'chashko l'ritzono yitbarach. And that's going to actually prove that you're closer to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. And as we'll see, he'll discuss next week, the way it's set up is you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people, and then it begins to branch out to all the nations of the world. This is not connected yet to Tefillah. But it is, of course, a response to the classic argument of the church against the Jewish people. The classic argument to the church that how could it be that if you are the chosen people, how could it be that we are so many and you are so few? And this was not just an argument made by the church, it was the argument made within many, many Jewish homes. There were many, many people who gave up on Yiddishkeit because of the understanding that how could it be that we're right? Everyone else in the world thinks different. There was a time where the rest of the world was Christian. There was a time where the entire world seemed to believe in other things besides what we believe. Says Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYashar, by definition, closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be measured by how small you are, and not by how big you are. By definition, there's going to be a group that was established, says the Derech Hashem, from the time of Adam HaRishon. There was always going to be a smaller group that was connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question is not how could we be right if we're so small, but how could they be right if they're so large? I have to run. Some very difficult concepts we discussed. Tammy, I did not admittedly think of your question, and I'm going to try to find an answer to that excellent question of how we know that the gene wasn't passed through other parts of Avraham's legacy once it made it past the year 2000. Mirtz Hashem will take that up next week, and we'll circle back to see what in the world is this all doing in a sefer about tefillah, and how can it help us daven better. Okay, we'll see you next week at the 100th shiur. Okay. And that's Tefillah.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Feel good.